I want to pray for us, and we're going to get started in some word this morning. Y'all ready for some word? God, today I love you. And Father, I pray that you just help us recognize who each of us are in our personal lives. And God, how that you've intended from the very beginning of the New Testament church that we unite together as one with your Son Jesus and become one with you. And God, the things we experience in culture, the things we see going on, cannot overpower your church. It cannot overpower your church. So God, when we see all of the things going on in our culture and what we experience, and we wonder, how much longer can we enjoy these freedoms we have? They can never be taken from the heart of a man, because we trust in you, and because we're obedient and we follow you through your word, God. I just pray your strength over this word today, and I pray you birth it in our heart, that each of us are challenged to a place of surrender. And we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name. I'm starting a series today, and I'm not much on series, but the Lord has been dealing with me through my time sitting still and not having much to do. The Lord started dealing with me about the church. And when we look at the New Testament church according to the Bible, and that's the only New Testament church there is. Can I say that again? That's the only New Testament church there is the one that is described to us in the book of Acts. When 120 people, and I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself, but we're going to be coming back around this mountain. 120 people gathered in a room to pray and did what Jesus asked them to do. You go wait. The church has been waiting long enough, I believe, in America. And it's time that the church begin to trust the leader, and that is Jesus. And when the church becomes the church, there'll be folks added to this body of believers. And I'm not talking about just living for the brand. I'm talking about the evangelicals. I'm talking about people that have really got some bondage in their life. We're looking at culture like homosexuality cannot be defeated. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. I'm telling you, he's not changed. He's still God, and he's still wanting to move in the hearts of man. Drug addiction don't own you. Alcoholism don't own you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. And until the church becomes the church, the bondages and all the pornography that is impelling the church and swallowing people's lives is going to continue to do so until we plug into the head, and his name is Jesus. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by me. Your religion won't save you. Your traditions of religion won't save you. We must begin to trust and follow Jesus. Matthew 16:24, he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A cross. It didn't say nothing about the cross of Jesus. You have your cross to bear. The cross that Jesus died on is not being used again. It's over. But then he says, if we didn't want to follow him, we deny ourselves, we take up our cross. That's what this scripture says. Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The problem is, in American culture today and in Christianity and in the evangelical community, is we've not denied ourselves. We want to be saved so we can go to heaven. We want to have that ticket punched so we can go to heaven, but it takes a relationship to make heaven. A prayer won't save you. A life of faith saves you. How much of a part do you play as an individual in the church? Unless we as individuals are found surrendered to His authority in our lives, as an individual, that I'm trusting Jesus, I'm on fire for Jesus. Boy, I don't hear that term much anymore. I'm on fire for Jesus. And I'm saying that today, I'm on fire for Jesus because I love what He's done in my life. I love the things He set me free from. I love the abilities that He gave me to be able to read, the confidence that He gave me to be able to share His gospel. I never set out as a little boy saying I'm going to be a preacher. It was the last thing on my mind when I was 27 years old that I'm going to be a preacher. The last thing on my mind. But then there was this stirring in my heart. Let me tell you what, Jesus is not head knowledge. He lives inside of us. And I'm encouraged and know that because visiting with my brother Donald, that I miss very much being here. When I asked Donald, I said, "Do you remember me up at the hospital?" He went, "Can't speak." They put the trach in him. He goes, "Mm-mm." I said, "Do you remember living for the Brand Cowboy Church?" I said, "Well, I'm never going to let you live that down when it all comes back to you that you forgot who I was." I said, "So you be ready for that one." And he laughed a little bit. And I said, "But I got to ask you this one. Do you remember Jesus?" "Yes, sir." So everything that Donald's going through, and he's going through it now, still at it, still a little combative, jerks a trach out of his throat, runs and hides, and shuts himself in the bathroom, don't believe he's in the hospital. Y'all just keep praying for Donald, okay? He's got his strength back, 100%. But we need the Lord to move in his mind and set him free. So just keep praying for Donald. But I love it about this. Donald may forget me. He may forget this church, but he can't forget Jesus. And what's happened with too many evangelicals, they got saved, they done the thing, they got their religion, and they go out in the world, and it's just like Jared said with the gloves, they forget Jesus and they get dirty. Let me tell you what happens when we learn to pray, when we learn to seek God, when we learn to honor God, when we learn to pray without ceasing, And we let the Spirit of God change who we are. We don't want that to happen. Why does human nature not like change? "Well, my friends will think I'm going crazy." Well, if you in this house, you ain't got far to go, so go ahead and do it. I know that I didn't have far to go, but I love what God done in my life, and I'm crazy enough to believe that He's the King of all glory. I'm crazy enough to believe that through this word, He is the King of kings, Lord of lords, and that I will not be defeated if I continue to trust in Him and to follow Him. And I want to challenge you to be that way yourself. But the religious people exist not only now, but they existed in Jesus' day. If you back up one chapter to Matthew chapter 15, and I'm going to just skip read through part of this. In verse 1 it said, "The scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders, for they don't wash their hands before they eat the bread?'" I'm going to ask you this question. What do you allow to separate you from brothers and sisters in Christ because they don't do things your way? Huh? What do we allow to separate? "Yeah, I just don't like him. You're miserable in your heart if that's your thinking. Can I say that again? You are miserable in your heart if you have that kind of thinking. You're not free. You're not walking in. You have not denied yourself in being a follower of Jesus. I said this before I hit the low road, before the surgery. If we begin to be the hands and feet of Jesus and do what he has called us to do and get busy being a blessing to people, you know what he called us to do? To be servants. He called us to serve. He called us to serve our communities. He called us to serve each other. And when we get busy serving each other, you won't have time to find the fault in everybody. But here the religious people done got it all figured out. Now, I'm going somewhere with this religion deal, okay? They got it all figured out. They want to know, why do your disciples transgress the commandments of God? Because they don't keep our traditions. And then in verse 3, he said, and Jesus answered, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? What commandments of God are we transgressing because of our traditions? You've quit loving each other. You got to learn to love yourself. And the only way you can love you is die to you, because most of us really don't like who we are when we're in that angry state. And I wish I wasn't this, and I wish I wasn't. Now go read that story in Romans chapter 7. Paul said, for in me, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. So it is the Spirit of God that's in my brother Donald that he ain't forgot who Jesus is. And it's the Spirit of God that lives inside of every one of us that when we're in this world, nothing can rob the presence of God. Nothing, nothing we go through, not anything we go through, can shake us from who I'm going to trust in the adversity that I'm facing right now. Because it's God that wants to lead us and direct us. Now jump down with me to verse 7. Watch what Jesus says here. Hypocrites, you did, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, this people draws near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You see, your traditions can become commandments of men. That's what Jesus is telling them. Their commandment was, oh, you're not washing your hands before you eat bread. You're totally missing the presence of God in your life when you think you got it all figured out. Traditions cause many to cover up the Word of God. The Pharisees taught and practiced their traditions that they elevated to the level of the Word of God. That's what they done right here. Oh, they ain't washing their hands. They're elevating their tradition higher than the Word of God. You know what's happened in our culture? We get saved, we get baptized, and we never pick this book up and read it. There's a story about a preacher that was invited in years and years ago to go over to a family's house. He was new. He came to the folks' house. They invited him over for dinner. They wanted to get to know their new preacher. And they come in, and the lady laid out her great-grandmother's best silver. Her best silver spoons and forks and knives, and put out the china. And after they got through eating, and the preacher, he leaves and goes home, and that lady's cleaning all the dishes up, and she comes up missing a spoon. She told her husband, she said, I think that preacher took my silver spoon. He said, are you sure? She said, well, I'm missing a spoon, and it was the one that I had at his place right there. And so a year and a half went by, and they really withdrew from the preacher, wouldn't have nothing to do with him, and went to church on special occasion like Christmas and Easter. Let me do my Jesus thing. And then they invited the preacher over for dinner again, because the husband said, it ain't fair. We got to call him over here, and when he comes over, we're going to ask him, did you take our silver spoon? She said, "You're just going to flat ask him?" He said, "Yep, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to flat ask him." Year and a half later, now he goes back and the preacher comes in there and he eats dinner with him, and the man asked him, said, "Preacher, I got to ask you something. Said, it's been on my mind, so I ain't come to church." He said, "I got to be honest with you." He said, "When you eat dinner with us a year and a half ago, did you take my wife's silver spoon?" He said, "No, I didn't take your wife's silver spoon." He said, "I was reading your Bible and I shut it up in the Bible." And he goes over and picks her Bible up and opens it up. And he said, "Right there's where I was reading. And I just stuck it in there and forgot to." So what is it? You know what we do? We get saved, we get our baptism on, we get our stuff on, and never take this word. People, it is no wonder that the church is weak, is because we don't have the foundation under us that Jesus intended for us to have and to stand on, and that is his word. When a believer leaves out the word, he's not truly following Jesus, because you can't follow Jesus without his word being settled in your heart. Why did his scripture say, "Take my word and hide it in your heart, so that what? That you might not sin against me"? We've got to have the word. The church needs to get back to his word. And I want to encourage you in that. And when you leave here, I'm challenging you, please go read it and make sure I'm doing according to his word. It's the only thing we have that we can stand on. Tradition causes many to cover up the word, and the Pharisees taught and practiced their traditions, and they elevated them to the level of the Bible, and this allowed them to ignore his word. And this is happening even in the lives of many evangelicals today, because they have a checklist of religious lies. And I love it when Rafael Cruz was here and he said, "The biggest lie the church tells itself today is God is in control." No, Jeffrey Lee nailed it when he was here. God's standing over here with his arms folded going, "Okay, when y'all get tired of that, I'm right here." I'm telling you, the truth of the Bible is you can't be a cross carrier without two things. And it's two words and two things that is escaped from and avoided at all cost in the Christian walk today, and that's surrender and obedience. It's not my life anymore. It's not my life anymore. It don't belong to me anymore. I surrendered that to Jesus. It takes a life for a life. Let me tell you about the cross. I want to read this little piece to you right here about the cross. Let me get my little... That's another thing folks never thought they'd hear in Frankie Smith's world. Dude, you're getting a Dale. See, y'all bear with me. I want to tell you about the cross. Originally, this word was used to refer to an upright stake or a pole. This word came to mean the cross that was used for execution. You know what the cross is a place of? A place of execution. Do you remember when we used to watch Gunsmoke and the cowboys and Indians, and the Indians rode up and there's on Appaloosa horse? You know why they rode Appaloosa horses? So they'd be mad enough to fight when they got to where they were going. I mean it. You ain't never rode one. You ought to try it sometime. Especially one got a lot of white around his eyes. And when that Indian rode up on that Appaloosa horse, he was mad enough to throw his stake in the ground. And when he threw that stake in the ground, and this is what the evangelical community has not done, we have not put that place in the ground that I'm not crossing this anymore. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. I'm going to be obedient to Jesus' calling on my life and his authority on my life. We have not staked out the pole that says I'm not going back anymore. Let me tell you what will happen if you go. You can pray all the prayers you want to pray. You can enter into your prayer closet and pray all you want to pray. You can ride in your pickup truck and pray all you want to pray. And when you get out of that prayer closet or this altar in this place of prayer and you go back and you cover yourself with the ways of the world and you just take the glove off and just get dirty anyway, your prayer is wasted. But when the Indian put the stake in the ground, that meant right here is where it'll go down. And that's what needs to happen in many people's lives in order for the church to become the church today. The cross was a place of execution. The cross was not only the most brutal form of execution the Romans could invent, it was the most shameful. The phrase carrying one's cross was a reference to the way condemned men carried the cross piece of the cross upon which they were to be hanged. And Jesus used this term metaphorically to refer to the enduring suffering, even to the point of death. We are to follow the example of Christ, even to the point of sacrificing our very lives. What does that mean? It's not my way anymore. It's not my way anymore. Elvis sang the song, "I did it my way." The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Boy, that's bragging about how I, but there is no I in J-E-S-U-S. There is no I. It is no longer me. Paul wrote it in Galatians. He said, "It's no longer I who lives, but the life I now live in the flesh, I live to the glory of the Son of God, because I've been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Are you there yet? Who are you? Who are you when you're by yourself? Are you the same person in private that you are at church? Are you the same person out in public that you are at church? Or do you change like the chameleon? Do you turn a different color when you're around the person that may pray a little or read the word a little or speak the religious lingo? You see, we've got our traditions over the authority of God in our life, and that's just why we're powerless in this culture. And until the church becomes the church, we're just going to be religious little mumbo jumbos running around. And there'll never be a resurrection. There'll never be a coming back for a church that has not made herself ready. It will never happen that way. Are y'all with me? 1 Peter 1, 13. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" It wasn't an option. It's a command. Leviticus 11, 44 and 45 says this two times, "Be holy, for I am holy." Again, it's not an option. It's a command. The righteousness of God is the breastplate. Now let's think about the battle. When you walk out of these doors, the battle that gets real in your life. The breastplate was a protective shield that the Roman soldiers wore that kept something from penetrating. Well, your righteousness is your holiness. And if you don't have your holiness and you're not holy, "Be holy, for I am holy," you're walking around without a breastplate on. And if I was Satan, I would want you to walk around without that breastplate on, because the easiest way to kill you is to get straight to your heart, and you're vulnerable because you're not protected. But the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of holiness, the command to be holy, for I am holy. At what point do we decide that we're just going to be John Wayne's and I'm tough, I don't need the breastplate? Tradition has shoved the breastplate off. And God is calling us back to a place of holiness. The truth of the Bible is, we have to be, again, be obedient and surrender to the Word of God and to the will of God. Your enemy don't care how much traditions you live in. He don't care. Because if you can live in your traditions and leave out holiness, he's got your heart. You're vulnerable. I can penetrate your heart. I can destroy you. You ever doubted God? Have you doubted God this week? Have you give up on God in a prayer? Have you give up on God in a family situation? Have you give up on God on a work situation? Have you just you know what, I've been praying for that for years. I'm not praying anymore. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will lift you up. That's the Bible. And when we know that word, it don't matter what I've prayed and what ain't happened. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him. We've lost our trust in God, and we've trusted in our traditions long enough, and it's caused individuals to be individuals. That's why people at the church don't know each other's names, because we just do our thing. And we'll never walk out of these doors and impact the city of Athens until the power of God settles in every heart. And we're going to be getting there as we keep going through this series. Matthew 10:38 says, he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Do you remember when Jesus asked them back in Matthew, the 15th chapter, he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're Elijah, some say a prophet, some say this, some say that. He said, but who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. This is what Peter told him. He said, you're the Christ. I mean, let's back up there. Get to Matthew 15. Verse 19. Nope, let me back up. Verse 17. Verse 16. Simon Peter said, you are Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Parjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. His name was not Peter. His name was Simon Parjona. But here Jesus calls him Peter, which means a frag petros. It's a fragment of the rock, the fragment of the foundation. A fragment of who Christ was is who Peter became, because he denied himself and he was a true follower of Jesus. And I also say to you in verse 18 that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on this earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. Why is the gates of hell not only prevailing against the church, but entering into the church? Why? Because the church is accepting woke culture, transgender, homosexuality. Let me tell you something, friend. All of these things, and not just, let's don't just get on one part of it. What about heterosexual sin? You cannot walk in unholiness and be holy. You cannot walk in unholiness and honor the King of Glory. But you have to deny yourself and take up your cross. And it is a place of shame that when family members is going to out, well, I have to accept that now because it's my family. Let me tell you something, friend. When we let our family supersede the power of God in our lives, it causes the church to be right where it is today. Give him a hand clap of praise. It's not over me. This is why it's important that you know who you even vote for. I hear elected officials that is as far left as they can get say they're praying, I wish I could get through that TV and say, who are you praying to? Because the God that I serve is not going to honor your trashy lifestyles. The church has got to stop accepting Satan's destruction and calling it that we have to love them. If you love them, you will tell them the truth. And we're going to get in that, because you go read about the second chapter, you go read about the New Testament church in the book of Acts, and we're going to be going there, and you're going to see, my Lord Jesus, we need to plug into that. But it takes you as an individual, because they can't be a church until you have denied who you are and you become a follower of His. And in this world, He told me I'm going to have trials and tribulation, but He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome this world. You know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on the day that the people of the church are sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they rise up and they say, no more, Satan. You take your garbage back. You get your hands off my family. I don't have to accept the fact that my nephews and nieces and whoever is turning into homosexuals and turning into transgender and confused about who they are. You get your hands off my family. Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. When you're sick and tired of being who this world wants you to be, and you become who God called you to be, there's going to be a power released on this earth that they have never seen before, and we're going to see thousands added to His body as He sees fit, because He's still that God today. Hallelujah. Come on, Wayne. Satan don't care how many traditions you have. In fact, he would love for you to just keep on serving your traditions. Because just like the Pharisees, them traditions got them nowhere. He don't care how many traditions you have, as long as you don't become holy, obedient, surrendered. Because when you do become victorious in your life, because it's not your life anymore, it's His, the King of Glory. And I want y'all to stand with me as Wayne and them plays. God, I just thank you today for your word. Your word is true. It will not return void to you. You have given this word, God, to create a purpose in each of us for your kingdom. And I pray that your word does its work in our hearts today, oh God, that we as individuals are no longer ourselves. The Bible tells us that we are bought with a price. We are not to serve the commandments of men. And God, John even said that I must decrease so that you can increase. And I pray your increase over every heart in this room today, because we're not our own anymore. We acknowledge that you are our King. We acknowledge that you are our Lord. And Father, today help us even more. Even me and myself, oh God, help me surrender more to you. More to you, God, less of me, for your kingdom's sake. And we give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All over this place, if God is speaking to your heart, come and pray. Seek Him.